The following message is from our pastor, Robert Haynes, of New Life Community in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Enjoy.
Is it okay to have fun at church? Is it all right?
Yeah.
It's all right with you guys over here to have fun at church? Do what? I want to tell the fun section over here. I thought the fun section was over here with my... Or maybe the fun section over here. Over here. You know, some people got some regular seats back there now. You better not sit in their seats. Right back over here. I want to tell you a quick story. I remember years ago I heard this story. It's a true story. And this guy had, he'd become a brand new Christian. He was kind of from a rough background, if you know what I mean. And he became a Christian. He started attending church. And he heard him talking about at church that about, you know, cursing the devil and taking authority over the enemy. So they had a prayer meeting one night, and he got him at his prayer meeting, and he'd heard him talk about cursing the devil. So he got up and he said, "You blankety blank devil, you. And he started cussing the devil in the prayer meeting because he figured that's what, you know what? I think the devil needs a good cussing every now and then. If you're going to cuss somebody, may as well be him, right? Anyway, you know, we're going to talk today, you're really here on a great day because we're going to talk about life. We're going to begin our series, Life, It's More Than a Game. Today's going to be your family life. And you know what, July 4th, at the 4th of July celebration, fireworks and all, we asked some people this question. And the question we asked was this: what famous TV family is most like your family? What famous TV family is most like your family? And I want you to answer the question right now, just like everybody did on our questionnaire, okay? And I've got them. There's elements on this one, so we'll be careful. The first one we had was the Addams Family. All right, we're going to put them all up before you have to answer, but the Addams Family was a very popular answer. Then we had the Bundys. That's another choice from the show Married with Children. And the third choice was the Cunninghams of Happy Days. Then we've got the Griffins of Family Guy. And I will say this, that, you know, my son-in-law Edgar over here, he is my favorite son-in-law. My favorite son-in-law. And he wanted to, I forget which one it was, Julian or Christian, one of the first couple of ones. He wanted to name our grandson Stewie. Thank God that Rebecca prevailed on that one, okay? Anyway, we don't have any grandsons named Stewie. And then we also had the Huxtables from the Cosby Show. And then our last choice was the Simpsons, from the Simpsons Show. Now, by round of applause, I want you just to tell us which of these six TV families is your family most like, okay? I'm going to give you 5 seconds to decide. All right, decision. Let's register our votes here, okay? What? You decide, all right? All right, you decide. All right, how about the Addams Family? Your family's like the Addams. All right, we got several there, okay? The Bundys, how about the Bundys? Three, all right. That's what we call a smattering of applause, all right? How about the Cunninghams of Happy Days? All right? How about the Griffins of Family Guy? making his parents proud at that very moment. All right? How about the Huxtables? Anybody like the Huxtables? All right? How about the Simpsons? Anybody like the Simpsons? You know, I'm all right. Are you Bart? All right. I think it was between the Addams Family and the Cunninghams and the Huxtables, wasn't it? All right, let's go for those again. Addams Family. Let's hear it nice and loud if you're Addams Family. All right, how about the Cunninghams of Happy Days? Oh, you're out. You're done. All right, the Addams Family is definitely number one. And the Huxtables, was that the other one? Today I want to talk about the prize. Raise your hand. No, raise it. Now put it on your back. Pat vigorously. Congratulations. We're giving away a game today. Maybe you'll win the game. Today I want to talk for a few minutes about a different kind of family. I want to talk about the kind of family that God wants you to have and the kind of family that you actually can have. How about that? Does that sound interesting? All right. Well, whether your family is textbook dysfunctional or totally awesome, there are some things that I'm going to share with you from the Bible today that I think will be of great help in helping to great families to get even better and to help struggling families get on the path to making significant improvement. If you would open your Bibles to Psalm 128, got several scriptures we're going to look at, but we're going to just kind of park here in Psalm 128, and then I'll just give you the references on the other one. You have a bulletin. There's a listening guide at the back of the bulletin on the last page, and you might want to take some notes this morning. Psalm 128, though, I love this passage about family. Psalm 128. Today we're going to talk about four keys to a great family. And obviously everybody here would like to have a great family. Whether your family is a family of one, or whether your family is a family of more than that, everybody wants to have a great family. Psalm 128 says this: blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. You know, there's a lot of good stuff that starts when you have a right relationship with Jesus. Amen. Fear the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. You know, Proverbs says that. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Now, that's kind of where we'd like to be, isn't it? Happy. It being well with us, right? Isn't that a good place to be? Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Now, that's a pretty picturesque and peaceful setting, isn't it? Your wife's like a fruitful vine. Children are like nice little olive plants around the table, not wreaking havoc in the house, but like little olive plants everywhere. Behold, thus the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Children's children, what's another way of describing that? I tell you what, when I was younger, I'd always hear people say, oh man, you know, your kids are one thing, but man, we have grandkids, they're really something else. And I thought, that's just old people talk, you know? And man, I tell you, when those grandkids started coming along, it's for sure. That's great. That's true. Our grandkids are fantastic. And we got two of the newest ones here today, right? The two twins. Nicholas and Alex have made their entrance into the world and their first appearance at New Life Community. So the grandchildren are fantastic. You know, my kids, they always kind of wonder how they line up in the pecking order now. They know that they're below the grandchildren. They know that. They've accepted it. The only issue for them is Chaco ahead of them or below them? Connie's dog Chaco, because I don't know, he's a pretty good dude, you know. But anyway, our kids are fantastic too. And peace be upon Israel. And as the people of God, you know, in the New Testament, we're the Israel of God in the New Testament as well. Let's pray, all right? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. And Lord, as we begin this series today on life, it's more than a game. God, I pray that you might just help us to open up our hearts and minds to some things that will help us to have stronger marriages, stronger families, and just be stronger people in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we ask it, and all God's people said, all right, well, let's have at it. Four keys to a great family. Number one key is, I think, to have a great family, I think one thing you need to do is what? Play together. You know, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time to weep and there's a time to what? Time to laugh. Some people have this idea of Jesus, that Jesus was always serious all the time and never wasn't the kind of person you want to hang out with. You know, some of the stuff I read that Jesus said in the Bible, some of it, I've read it and I just bust out laughing. Like when he said, hey, if your son asks for bread, are you going to give him a stone? And I think about that. That would be hilarious. You know, your son comes up and says, man, I'm hungry. Here's a stone. Chew on that. I don't know. Stone high fiber? It's natural. Surely we could eat it, you know? Not long ago, I was over at Edgar and Rebecca's house and they were talking about our third grandson, Dylan. How that Dylan was eating dirt that day. And he had dirt, you know, he mixed in the dirt drool, you know, coming down his face. He looked awful. But, you know, kids like dirt. And I found out, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that there are some people that like to eat dirt. And there's a certain kind of dirt in Mexico they sell that people eat. Somebody told me that they had eaten some of that. It's a white dirt, right? Yeah. I think that white dirt is called powdered sugar, but I'm not sure. But, some people like to eat dirt. But you know what? I think that there is a time and a place. There's a time and a place to be serious, but there's also a time and place to have fun and to laugh and to play. And I think families that play together stay together. I think it's good. You know, every now and then at church we have a family fun night. We did something this summer that's one of the craziest things we've ever done. But for this summer we had fun groups. They were led by fun leaders. At fun times, we had a ping pong fun group. Oh, who was the champion of the ping pong fun group? Who?
Who?
I can't. Oh, it was me. I won. And we had a bowling fun group and a line dancing fun group. You know why we had fun groups? Led by fun leaders? Because we're fun people.
Amen.
All right? We are. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all that you put your hand to, you and your households." That means our whole households are supposed to be what? Rejoicing, enjoying the blessings of God. "For the Lord your God has blessed you." There's a passage in Luke 15, I love it. In the passage in Luke 15, I don't know if it's three parables similar or one parable with three parts, but in the first section of it, there is a man and he's got some sheep. And what happens to one of his sheep? Lost it, right? And then he goes out and he finds it. And what does he do after he finds the sheep? He has a party, right? Hey, he calls together his friends and his neighbors. And he says, "You know what? Come and celebrate with me because my sheep that was lost is now what? Found." Now the second part of that is this. There's a lady. And she had 10 silver coins, and she lost one of those coins. And what do you think a lady would do if she lost one of those coins? She's going to look for it. Why would she not ask her husband to look for it? He'd never find it. I couldn't find something the other day, and Connie's out of town, and I said, "Do you know where that Tear-A tape is?" Because I needed to repair my inner tube that, you know, I take to the lake. I looked everywhere I thought I could possibly. I looked in the boat. I looked in the cabinet in the garage. I looked in all the cabinets in the garage. I looked in my closet. And I called Connie. I said, "Do you have any idea where that Tear-A tape is where you repair vinyl things?" And she said, "It's in Justin's closet. I think it's on the top shelf on the left." I don't know how women do this, really. I don't know how they do it. I think most women could fit most of Walmart in their purse. I mean, how do they do that? They keep pulling stuff out. Anyway, the lady lost her silver. What did she do? She searched her whole house until she what? Found it. And then what did she do? She called her friends and neighbors together and celebrate with me because my silver coin that was lost is now what? So let's have a what? Then the next one in Luke 15 is there's a man and he's got two sons, right? One son feeling not so great about being at home under his father's roof and living under his father's rules. So, "You know what? I want my inheritance right now." So the dad gives it to him. And he hightails it out of there, gets as far away from his dad and mom as he could get. And as long as he's got a pocket full of money, he's got a house full of friends. You know what I'm talking about? As soon as the pocket full of money is gone, so are the friends. And he gets him a job, slopping the hogs. That's a great job for a little Jewish teenager, you know? Slopping the hogs. You know, they don't eat bacon and ham, stuff like that, you know? But anyway, that's the job. And he finally said, "You know what? The servants in my father's house have it better than me. So the Bible says this. The Bible says he came to his senses. And he decided, I'm going to go back to my father's house." And what happens when he gets to his father's house? His father's down at the end of the road looking. I think his dad looked every day. "Maybe today's the day. My boy's coming home." And he thought, and he had his spiel. You know, some of those tough moments that are coming up in life, you kind of rehearse what you're going to say. you know, Dad, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. It was a terrible decision. Just let me be like one of your servants. He said what? He embraced him. He put a ring on his finger. He put a robe on his back. He's killed the fatted calf. You know what that means, don't you? Steak. Steak. I like mine well done. I know you probably like yours rare. But anyway, steak. And you know what? He said, call my friends and neighbors together because we're going to have a what? You know what the point of all that is? Jesus goes on and tells us what the point is. He said, you know what? There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. That is, when we come to our senses and we turn to Jesus and we come to Jesus, there's more joy. There's joy in heaven. So what happens in heaven when somebody comes to Jesus? They throw a what? Party. You know, I'm convinced that these people in Luke 15 were Mexicans. I am, really. Because with Mexicans, I know lots of Mexicans, but with Mexicans, it doesn't take, you know, it doesn't take anything to have a party. No advanced planning or anything. You know how Cinco de Mayo came about? A couple of Mexican guys said, hey, Cinco de Mayo, let's have a party. And so I'm convinced these were Latinos, you know, in Luke chapter 15. But you know what? They got the right idea. Let's have some what? Let's have some fun. I remember when our kids were growing up, we didn't have hardly any money. And there used to be a theater in Memphis called the Apple Tree. Y'all remember that? And Connie really didn't like movies much, but the kids liked movies and I liked them. And for Apple Tree, I think you could get in for $2. Was that right, $2? So we would go to the Apple Tree. They had discounted concessions also. And so I'm not kidding. Rebecca's here. She can verify it. Carrie, I think, had to go to work. But anyway, we would go to the Apple Tree and we would get the gigantic refillable popcorn and a gigantic refillable Coke and 4 straws. And we would have at it at our movie time. But you know what? That's a memory. I don't know. I hope my kids have some. I didn't do everything right, but we did some stuff right. And I hope my kids have some good memories. You know, one thing you ought to do with your family is make some good memories. Amen. Have some fun. There you go. Catch lightning bugs. Julian and Christian are up in Missouri at a family reunion with Connie. And I called her the other day. I said, what are y'all doing? And she said, they're out catching lightning bugs. You know, that's fun, isn't it? Get you a jar, poke a little, a few holes on the top, catch them lightning bugs, and watch them die. No, that's not the fun. The catching the lightning bugs, that's the fun part. How about play in the sand? Sand is not available. Dirt will do. Of all the toys you can get a kid, a pile of dirt is one of the best. How about play catch with a baseball or a frisbee? How about go camping? When our kids were little, we used to go camping every year, just for several years, up at Branson, Missouri. Not because we liked camping, but because we couldn't afford those high-priced hotels they have up there, and so we would camp at a campground. There was one year that a skunk kept coming around. And I don't remember if the skunk sprayed our tent or not. I can't remember. I would remember that, wouldn't I? How about read a book out loud? Read a book to your kids. How about bake some chocolate chip cookies? Let me tell you how I like my chocolate chip cookies. Fresh out of the oven, where you bite in, the chocolate's all dripping, melting. I don't like to save them until they cool off. Wait till they cool off. And my question is always, why? Now is when they're really good. How about dance? My daughter Rebecca, she puts up some of the craziest videos of our grandkids dancing. Puts on some good music and the kids are dancing. You know what? Dance. How about that? That's fun, isn't it? Jump in the lake. Some people say go jump in the lake if they're aggravated. I think it's a great idea. I love to jump in the lake. Play a video game together. Go four-wheel riding. This is number 11. So I gave you 10 fun things you could do that don't cost a lot. This is number 11. This is what I'm calling honorable mention. Okay? You can tell me whether it should have made my top 10 list or not. Pour salt on a slug. I think it's fun. Be honest. Have you ever done that? Have you ever poured salt on a slug? You know, most of you have. All right? Now, keep your hands up just for a minute. Take a picture. I'm going to report you to the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Slugs. So I think one thing you can do is what? Have fun. Play together. Second thing I think that's key to a great family is... not only play together, but also what? Pray together. You know, there's a spiritual dimension that we need to realize that is important for families. And, you know, we ought to have fun together. And I believe as Christians, we can have a lot of fun. I believe as Christians, we can come together and have a fun song like we had earlier today. It was fantastic. But I think that we need to realize there's a spiritual element to family as well. Deuteronomy 6 says this in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Does anybody remember that commandment? When Jesus was asked on one occasion, what's the most important commandment of all? This is the one he pulled out. He said to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And all these words I command you this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down, when you rise up. That sounds like Jesus ought to be involved in our family life somehow, right? Abraham, one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. The Bible says this about Abraham in Genesis 18. Since Abraham shall surely become a great mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. You know, Jesus is a descendant of Abraham. And it's in Jesus, Abraham's descendant, that's how the whole world is blessed. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord and do righteousness and justice, and that the Lord may bring Abraham all that he has spoken to him. Here's a couple of suggestions on how you can bring a spiritual element into your family. Now, I've always thought it's kind of a cool thing that when you put your kids to bed, pray with them. Let them pray. You know, kids come up with some pretty good prayers. You know that? You know, they haven't grown up enough to know that some things we just shouldn't ask for. They pray big, which is the way we ought to pray. You know, Jesus said on one occasion that we ought to become like little children if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, right? Kids have big faith. They dream big things and think big things. So read a Bible story book to them. As if you got small kids, pray with them when it's time to put them to bed. How about pray as a family about family issues? How about that? I'll tell you this one story. One time we were going to head up to Missouri to visit Connie's folks up there. And Connie likes taking off real early in the morning, which is really a good thing when you're traveling with small children, because a lot of times early in the morning they're what? Sleeping. And you can get down the road without answering the question. You've done this before? Yeah. Okay, so you don't have to add that kids are sleeping. You make good time. And so, but anyway, I don't know why, but we decided, it was like midnight. We had just kind of finished packing up. She said, let's take off right now. And I made the mistake of saying, yes, sure. Let's do it. Sure, I'd be glad to. And so anyway, we got somewhere over in Arkansas. I can't remember exactly where. We were somewhere in Arkansas. Maybe near Terrell Twist or something. I don't know. But anyway, we were in this brown Dodge Ram van. It was a minivan. You remember that? We were in that van, and it broke down. And it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. It was near the Christmas holidays. It's freezing cold outside. Breaks down. There's no traffic out. And so, what do you think I do? No, what I did is I got out the. I opened up the hood. Why? I really have no idea. I wouldn't have any clue as to what to do, you know. If it was burning up on fire, I would think, well, is it supposed to be on fire? I'm not sure, you know. I don't ever look at it. I didn't know what to do. And anyway, Carrie, I don't know how old he was at that time. Maybe, let's say he was 6 years old, something like that. Our keyboard player, you know, many years ago. And he said, would now be a good time to pray that Jesus would help us? And I'm thinking, he's the most spiritual one of the bunch right here, you know. Wait a minute, I should have thought of something like that. But you know what? Sometimes even with your children, bring them in if there's a big issue or job situation, whatever. Bring them in on that. Let them pray as a family. Here's a third suggestion. Get actively involved in a good church together. Some people send their kids to church. Other people go with them. How about as a family, you know, get together. Be in a church where there's something for everybody. And here's my fourth suggestion about introducing the spiritual element to your family is don't leave Jesus out of your family. You know? Make sure Jesus is not just part of your family, but he's the focus and the leader of your family. I remember several years ago, I've always liked movies, and I probably shouldn't tell you some of the movies I like, but I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag on this one. But I don't remember, there was a whole series of them, but there was one movie, I don't even remember the name of it, but Chevy Chase was in it. It was one of those Griswold movies where they were on their way to, I think, California, to Wally World. Was that it? Wally World. And anyway, they had, maybe his mother-in-law's dog, but anyway, they had a dog that he did not care for. And they were at a rest stop or something like that, and so they tied the dog to the back of the car. Don't listen, Hilda. Don't listen. They tied the dog to the back of the car, and then later, you know, they were stopped by a policeman because of the dog they were dragging behind their car. What's the point of the story? If you're a Griswold, don't leave the dog behind. Right? And if you're a family, don't leave Jesus behind. Don't leave Jesus out of your car. Invite him into the car. And you know, don't just invite him into the car just to hang out or put up with him. Let Jesus, don't even put him in the back seat. Put him in the front seat. Don't let him be your co-pilot. How about let Jesus be the pilot of your family? How about that? You know, the very first miracle Jesus ever did was at a wedding. Do you know that? The wedding at Cana. And what was the first miracle he did? Turned water into wine. And some Baptists have not forgiven Jesus for that to this day. Have not forgiven him. Apparently, no one knows what I'm talking about. Okay, forget that. Okay, move on. All right. Number three. So we ought to play together, pray together. And here's the third suggestion that I have for having a great family. How about this? Stay together. How about that? Now, don't throw stones at me. I know there's certain situations that come that are unavoidable and all that. But what I'm saying is we ought to make a commitment to family. We ought to be committed to one another. Because in family, there are rough things that happen. And we need to commit to one another. This is what we call, this is a picture of a group hug. That's what it is. It's a group hug. It's a family that's committed to one another. Now, you've probably heard this at weddings before. I'm just going to read it before I tell you where it's found. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Have you ever heard that at a wedding? Oh, no? Okay, well, I've heard it at weddings before. That was not spoken between a husband and wife. That was spoken between Ruth and Naomi. Ruth spoke that to her mother-in-law, Naomi. My point is this, there was a strong commitment there, and we need to have a strong commitment to our families. And the commitment's not just the parents to the kids. Can kids make a commitment to have a good family too? Are there anything kids could do to make their family even better? Yeah, I could think of several. All right. So, in Proverbs 31, about the virtuous woman, there's a strong commitment there. As it describes her, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. We need to have a strong commitment to family, because family is important. The fourth suggestion I've got today as far as how to have a great family, it's play together, pray together, stay together. And the last one might surprise you, but we ought to what? Fight. Not fight with one another. Fight together. Do you realize there are a lot of things in our society that are working against healthy families? And do you think there might be an occasion where we might have to fight for our families? Listen to this verse from Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. He says, "And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." Fight for them. So I think as families, we ought to fight together. And we ought to do whatever it takes to have a great family. You know, this song that we had earlier, what it was about, it was about taking authority over the enemy. Don't put up with. You realize that you do not have to put up with the stuff the devil sends your way. You realize that. Like I heard one time, this guy said to somebody else, he said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Well, under the circumstances, I'm doing pretty well." And he said, "What are you doing under there?" You know, Jesus called us to walk on water, not tread water. Yeah. Right? I like what Dr. Barnett says a lot of times. You ask him how he's doing. He says, "I'm not walking on water yet, but I'm working on it." Right? If your shadow is not healing the sick yet, then there's more to work on, right? Right? There's more. All right, well, what are you going to do about what we've talked about today? You know, the Bible, there's always next steps we can take. There's always some way we can apply what the Scripture says. So I've actually got seven here that I'm going to suggest. And if you would take out your Connect card once again and turn it over to the back side, that's this side right here. There's an application section in the top left corner. In response to the ministry, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit today, what are you going to do about what we've talked about today? I'm going to give you several suggestions. One, I'm going to pick one or more of these scriptures we've talked about today. Maybe there's one of these that really hit home with you and you say, "You know what? I'm going to make that my scripture of the week. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to pray about this scripture." And they're listed in your bulletin. Most of the ones we talked about are listed there. Number two, I'm going to commit to making my family better. You know, sometimes we don't really make progress because we have the Adam and Eve syndrome. You know what I mean by that? Adam and Eve got themselves and the rest of us into a big mess, right? By their sin. By one man's sin, death entered into the world. And sickness and sorrow and all the bad stuff, it all came as a result of that sin in the Garden of Eden. But what did Adam do when God confronted him about his sin? "That woman you gave me." Isn't that what he said? "That woman." Really what he was saying, "It's not my fault." It's really indirectly he's saying, "That woman you gave me." It's really, "God, you should take some of the responsibility for the problem we had because you gave her to me." So he didn't take responsibility, did he? He blamed somebody else. What did Eve do? What was the first thing out of her mouth? "That serpent, he beguiled me." And the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. That was a joke. That was a joke. Okay, the section over here, the intellectual section, got that. Ah, yeah, that's right. Mike, yeah. Come on, Mike, help me out here. Anyway, you know what? Is there one thing? The problem, sometimes the reason people don't make progress, because if I was to ask this question, what could happen to make your family better? Like husbands will say, "Well, if my wife would," right? How about this for a husband? What are you going to do to make it better? A wife, what can you do to make it better? If you're a kid, what can you do to make things better? Focus on yourself and what you can do. You can't control other people. You can't make other people do things, but you have control over yourself. Here's another suggestion. Number three, I'm going to ask my wife or husband, as the case might be, I'm going to ask my wife or husband for a date this week. And next week, and that's not a bad idea, is it? Maybe if you don't have a date night, maybe you ought to have a date night, right? Now here's another suggestion. Four, I'm going to do something nice for my parents this week. How about that? Would that make your family better? Yes. Would your life be better if your kids did something nice for you this week? Can you think of any nice thing they could do for you? Lots of them? All right. Kids, if you're wondering what you could do, just ask your parents. They'll come up with lots of ideas on how you can make a life better for them. All right, here's number five. I'm going to identify and eliminate one thing that I know is attacking and weakening our family life. Because, you know, there's some struggles that we face, and it's like, you know what? That's why Jesus said, "Lead us not into temptation." If there's something that's dragging your family down, then attack it, address it. Here's one more suggestion, how you can make your family better. I think you could make your family better by saying, you know what? I'm going to be here for the next 3 weeks, and I'm going to hear this whole series about life is more than a game. And I think your family will be better off for it. You might say, well, I've never been to church 4 weeks in a row in my whole life. Now's a great time to start. Right? We'd love to have you. It's going to be fantastic. Here's my last suggestion. You might could guess what it is. It's about the Griswold thing again. Don't leave Jesus out of your family. Don't leave Jesus out of your life. Maybe today would be a good day if you have never really turned from your way to Jesus' way and embraced Jesus as Lord and Savior. Today would be a great day to do that. Why not now? Why not today? And if that's what the Lord's dealing with you about, you can just mark that on your card that I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. I want to make a fresh start with Jesus. And I'm going to give you about 60 seconds to go ahead and fill this card out. And please, if you'd like to give us your prayer request, we have people that pray over these prayer requests every single week. And I'm going to give you 60 seconds. Let's go ahead and finish filling out these cards. And then someone will come to receive the tithes and offerings. And then we're going to draw one of these cards out right after that. We're going to give away one of these games right before we leave today. Okay? So let's take 60 seconds and fill these cards out, please. Let's pray first. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Lord, help us to take the next step that we need to make our families great. And Lord, for anybody that's here this morning that as yet has not really come to know you, God, I pray that you might draw them to yourself. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit us at www.newlifeob.org. We hope to see you again soon.